Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome. I'm Rose.
I'm Kathy.
And our topic is getting your life in order. And we have been following Kathy's journey from the first injury and her back and the feeling of paralysis and the very fragileness of your bones and the fear that came with the diagnosis of cancer, how to tell your loved ones. She had a 9-year-old daughter and a 15-year-old daughter, her extended family, her brothers and sisters. She was the youngest of 4 children, all of them still living in very close family. And you had taken us through the journey last time with, you had started your radiation and you were going into chemotherapy. So take up from that point.
Well, I met with the doctor and he told me that I really needed to get my affairs in order. Mm. This was only palliative care because that's all they could offer me. There was no cure. And 3 months was about the time I had left to live, which would take me to September. The hope was, the reason they were doing the chemotherapy, because he actually considered not doing it all, because he did not want to put me through the poisons and the hardship that the chemo would cause me and cause me more pain for the last months of my life. But his hope was that the chemo might slow down the growth of this very aggressive cancer that would allow me to get through Christmas and have one Christmas left with my daughters. And I tell you, I was really disappointed that I had to do the chemo. I was absolutely dreading it, just dreading it. I mean, who likes to feel sick?
Yes.
And as I read about the Taxol, the word brutal kept coming up. And the anaphylactic shock and all the different things that it could cause. And, of course, the hair loss. And you took me to that first
chemo. Yes, I was absolutely terrified. I prayed the whole time. And I think it was like 9 hours that first time.
We were there 9 hours because everything, they gave you the cocktail at the beginning that of the Benadryl and the pre-meds that would keep you from going into, you know, any of those shocks or the bad things that could happen. And then it was one drug at a time, and there were probably 4 or 5 of them.
And they start very slow. It opened my eyes to a whole world that I didn't realize. All these stalls of people getting pumped full of all of these chemicals.
And it was packed. And they had nice warm blankets for me if I needed, which I did. I found one of the medications gave me leg jitters, and I could never keep my legs still. And so we went through the 9 hours, and each medicine I would be thinking, oh, what now, what now? And finally we came to the worst one. It was the last one they gave me, and they watched me like a hawk for any signs of emergency. And meanwhile we sat there eating crackers and
playing words with friends,
and nothing happened.
Praying. I went out to a little courtroom there.
Yeah, but nothing happened. I didn't get sick. I didn't get anaphylactic shock. I didn't get anything. I was exhausted.
Yes.
And I was still in pain.
And on the way home, we bought you another juicer.
Yes.
I remember that. And you were asleep in the car. You were too tired to even get out of the car.
Oh, I couldn't walk, really.
Yeah. So I just went and got the only juicer that particular store had. You've since worn that juicer out and moved on to other juicers.
Yes, but that one lasted a year.
But there were the chemotherapy I still to this day believe, you know, believe it's just a bunch of poisons and the radiation as well. But there were a couple of things that the doctors didn't do because you were in such a critical state. Because you were on palliative care, they didn't take out all your lymph nodes. They didn't do a lot of radical surgeries.
Yes. If this had been a lesser cancer, I would have. They would have told me I needed a mastectomy. They would have just taken out as many lymph nodes as possible.
Yes. Now, did you know how many lymph nodes were impacted? They took out two, but you later found out that all of your lymph nodes just about were
impacted. There were many more. They didn't know for sure. These were the two really bad ones, and they wanted to get both of them so that they could find out where the cancer was, and they didn't want to leave the big ones in there anyway. Yeah. I was disappointed they took out two, actually. But so we went, that chemo then was every week, and we kept researching, and I kept praying, Lord, please help me to be healed. And my girls and Shannon and I every night would get together and pray for my healing. And the next day I would go, okay, God, is today the day you're going to heal me? And nope. And by this time I was in a wheelchair. I couldn't go to the bathroom without Shannon helping me. And it was a long ways to the bathroom, at least I thought it was. At one point, it took me an hour to get there and back. And during the day, I would lay in the bed because I couldn't walk, and he would leave me food. And he'd go to work and then come back. And for the first month or month and a half, you were still there. So you would take me to all my appointments, and then he would come and meet us. But then you had to go back to work. And so he would come. After that, he would drive the 40 minutes back, pick me up, drive me 40 minutes back to my appointment. And then he would go to work because he worked right there. And then he would come pick me up from my appointment and drive me 40 minutes back. And then he would drive 40 minutes back to work to try to make up the hours he had missed and, you know, get home at 7 or 8 o'clock at night. And meanwhile, I was starving because...
Yes, there was, you know, it was a tremendous faith stretching experience. We made the decision. I remember you and I talking about it. We're not going to let fear. We're going to let faith dominate this whole experience. And just going back to, I work about an hour and a half from home, so I live down there during the week. Going back there was a huge stretch for me. I was needed here. I didn't know how long you had to live. I knew your girls needed me. I was just fit.
And you know, people stepped in, your daughter for one. She took care of Katie so much, took her to church with her, took her to all the things that they did. She has a son that's about Katie's age. And, you know, your son's wife, she took Andalina shopping for school clothes. I couldn't do any of this. And, you know, later she came and helped me clean up after Christmas because my tree was up forever.
Well, and I mean, praise the Lord, we had made it to Christmas, but I don't want to quite get there yet. I mean, that was great. We had made it to Christmas. We had made the 6 months, and God had really blessed you in so many ways with the outpouring of the community. When you first heard about it, you know, there's three prongs. There's the spiritual, and there's the physical, and there's the mental. And the fear is the mental, really, when you think about it. We often think it's the spiritual, but it's that mindset. And your friend Kathleen kept saying, say today that I have, that I am cancer-free. Just keep telling yourself. And we all had to keep doing that.
We did. And we all kept researching and we all kept praying. And I kept going through my chemotherapy. And in August, actually, I had gotten off a wheelchair and back to a cane. And I was, you know, pretty happy about that. And my doctor was, you know, pretty surprised. And I was juicing heavily still. And it was my birthday. I made it to my birthday. But again, didn't know if this was going to be my last birthday. I turned 49. And I sat down there in this chair. We were there for 4 hours. It was so much fun. My whole family was there, you know. And when I went to get up, everybody had gone home. And I went to get up. And the pain that hit me was the same pain that had hit me when I got up from my father-in-law's chair in California.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, no. You know, I made it up the stairs, and I got in bed, and that's where I stayed. I couldn't move. And just to try to explain, I don't know what happened. I don't know what was going on. I couldn't lay on my back, so I'd lay on my side. And it was like a vice grip was pushing my hip bones together and my knees. It was so tight. I couldn't even lift my leg up to, and the knee bone was digging into my other knee.
Yeah.
And it was literally just this force that I don't know why. I don't know what happened. And I had to get Shannon to come over and pry my legs apart, stick a pillow in between my knees because it was so painful. And that's how I had to sleep. And by Monday, I was a little bit better again. I could walk with a cane again, but barely. And I went in to my chemo, and my doctor was like, oh no, you know, you're getting worse fast.
Is that when he said he didn't think you were going to make it to the end of the...
Yeah, he said, I don't see you making it to the end of your chemo. We have you scheduled for 12, but your bone marrow is not producing because your bones are so eaten up and your white blood count is so low that they almost didn't start me on the chemo back in July, but then they'd gone ahead, but now it was dropping. And he said, I just don't think you're going to make it. And he goes, but we'll get you through as many chemos as we can because we're trying to prolong you, you know, through to Christmas. And so I went home and I started researching more, and I found, chlorella and spirulina, and I started taking them because supposedly they would help your blood count. And the next week I went back and, you know, my blood count was normal.
And that's amazing.
That the doctor's like, I don't know how this happened, but wow, you know, we can keep on. And that chemotherapy, I almost didn't do the chemotherapy because it's such a poison, but I wanted to halt or slow down the growth, you know, so we could find something. And in my research, I had a website pop up, and I looked at it. And it was for a supplement, but it was kind of expensive, and so I went away from it. And it was obscure; I'd never heard of it before. And then,
we're going to take a break right here, but be sure and come back so you can hear what it was. And there's a number of things that we need to share with our listeners that you have done. We'll be right back.
You've been listening to Homeschool Companion. You know, we'd love to hear from you. Be sure and like us on Facebook at Homeschool Companion, or partner with us. Send us a contribution or a show suggestion at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783, or call us at 301-824-3162.
Hi, I'm here with Kathy Jackson, and we have been going through her journey. Our theme is getting your life in order, as all of us need to be doing all of the time. But sometimes God brings these very trying experiences. And I know that you were sharing with us this one thing you had found, and don't forget that thought, but I just have to interject this. I think it was, well, maybe I'll wait and interject it after your second PET scan. Was it your second PET scan?
Yeah, well, back in August, I should back up a little bit.
It was just after I had started going to school, and I remember I would try to stop at your house on Sunday on my way back down to Baltimore, and you got the results of one of your tests, and it didn't look that good.
No, well, back in August, I had been anointed. Growing up, we had always heard about anointing. It was when you were on your deathbed, and so I was not looking into anointing. But a pastor friend of mine actually said, "Are you interested in this?" And I said, "Yeah, but I don't want to be considered on my deathbed. And she said, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, if any of you is sick, you know, you're sick. So I had gotten anointed, and it was the day after that when I could no longer walk.
Oh.
And my hips, you know, yes, stuck together. Very disappointing. And each morning again, I would wake up. So God, is today the day I'm healed? And nope, I wasn't. So I found this website, and you can find all of this. I don't want to take up the time to explain each little thing, but you can find it on my brother's making a website for me. And so I'll give that at the end.
Well, you can give it now and at the end.
Okay. It's Kathy's Journey Through Cancer. Kathy's with a C. Kathy's Journey Through Cancer.com. And he's putting everything on there for me because it does get, you know, a lot. Anyway, so I was researching again and came across this website again with the supplement, and it had a Bible verse on it about healing. And I'm like, you know, anybody can put a Bible verse on and make it look good. So I ignored it. And the third time it popped up, it just popped up on my computer whenever I would research. And my husband said, you know, I think you need to try this. And I'm like, we really can't afford it. And he said, I don't care. You know, I think you need to try it. So I thought about it, but it was, you know, just kind of out of my price range at the time. And then it was time for my first PET scan since I had been on chemo. And the PET scan was in November. And Shannon, my husband, picked it up because he works there, and I had signed a release form. He picked it up and brought it home, and it didn't look good. Nothing had changed. But when I went to see my doctor...
Well, that night when I stopped by on the way, you told me nothing had changed. And I remember sitting there beside you and feeling the fear welling up again.
There was so much fear.
And I said, Kathy, we can't let this get to us. We can't let this get to... We can't... There's no dry bones around here. We can't let this... I can't let this get to me. I so wanted to just say, forget my job. I want to be with my sister. And, of course, I didn't. I moved on. But we really... We prayed. We said, you know, Lord, help us to have peace over this. Your will be done.
You know, that's the hardest thing for me, was to say your will be done, because I was afraid his will wasn't my will. Yes. You know, I wanted to live, but what if that wasn't, you know, what was supposed to happen? And so Monday we went to see the doctor, and I went in, and of course I had this all in my mind already that he was going to put me back on chemotherapy and I was going to go back to radiation. And I went in and he said, this is a great PET scan. And I'm like, what? I said, I've already seen it. I know what it says. And he said, but you don't understand. It has stopped growing. He says, this is the best we could hope for, was that it stopped. It hasn't changed. It hasn't gone away, but it's not worse, which means that we've gotten you a few more months, you know.
Christmas, here we come.
Yeah, yeah. So I was ecstatic, you know. I called you, and I'm like, it's okay,
yes,
it's okay.
Oh, that was so such a relief. And I'm just going, God, thank you for not being any more fearful than I was. You know, I continued with my ministry down in Baltimore, but yet I so badly wanted to be up here.
Yeah, and you know, when that anointing happened, that wasn't okay, I'm going to get anointed so I can get healed. Because I know God doesn't work that way. God works in his way, and we don't know what it is.
Yes.
My whole point of that was to say, I give this over to you. Whatever happens is your will. And that was so hard for me to do. So hard for me to do. And I would sing this song, Thank You, Lord, for the Trials. And, oh, I was not thankful for those trials. It just had to, you know, and I couldn't. I would go and sit down at my piano and try to play. And I couldn't. I couldn't sit at a piano. And that was heartbreaking. I hadn't been at my job at my church since the end of May.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's a small church. They were still paying me full time, hoping that I would be able to come back. I didn't have any vacation time left. They didn't matter. They took collections and paid me full time.
Mm.
And in September, I actually went back. and I surprised them and showed up at, you know, choir practice, the first choir practice of the fall season. And Shannon would carry this big, huge clubbery chair for me to sit in because I had to have a backrest, and a footstool that I would sit up there with my feet up on a footstool, except when I was playing the piano. And it was horribly, horribly hard to do, but I was so glad to be back. And, so here we had gotten into November, and Christmas, here we come. And we did. We had a wonderful Christmas. And Shannon and I sat there wrapping presents with me propped up, you know. And it was 2 o'clock in the morning. We're wrapping presents because, again, we had procrastinated. And it didn't matter. You know, Christmas wrapping presents, we were usually just at each other because we were so tired and we had... Mm-hmm. And now we were so thankful, yes, to be together doing this. And we had gone through, you know, the Christmas programs, and my girls were so excited. And here we had a Christmas, and I had actually been able to go to the store very carefully, pushing on a cart to hold myself up. And it was fantastic. But in November, I finally, at Shannon's request, started. After that last PET scan, I started the new supplements. And a couple months later, I was starting to be able to walk without a lot of pain. I wasn't pushing myself on the cart. Shannon was pushing the cart, and I was walking beside him. And I remember the first time I went, hey, look, I'm walking. I'm not holding on to anything. And by the time I got home, I was exhausted. But it was such a difference. And after those 2 months, I started on another supplement, and I started on another supplement. And so I was taking about 5 of them by then. And in March, I had my next PET scan. And I remember going in there, and I did the same prayer I always did. Lord, please take this cancer from me. Lord, please take this cancer from me. But I knew I was better. I knew I was definitely better. And We went for the PET scan, and the next day I sent Shannon to get the results. Well, I expected him to bring them home, but he did not. He looked at them. But the thing of it was, he didn't call me.
Mm.
And I had said, please call me as soon as you get it, you know, or text me. And I waited and I waited. I had actually woken up in the morning and started to go back to bed, and then went, oh, my PET scan. He's going to see my PET scan results. But he didn't call me. And, you know, the last time he had called me, he was so upset because it had not been different and it was bad. And I waited probably until noon. And finally I texted him and I said, Shannon, it's okay if it's bad. I need to know. And he texts me and he goes, hon, I'm so sorry. I've been in meetings. I haven't even gone and picked it up yet. I'm like, ah, you know. So he went immediately and then picked it up and he called me and he said, it looks good.
I think it looks good,
but the medical jargon,
yes,
you know, was a little confusing. So he brought it home and we looked at the pictures and we read what was there, and wow.
Wow, what a great note to end this show on. We're just going to have another one so we can get all the details. Getting your life in order. Kathy's journey through cancer. My co-host, we just have one last thing to say, and that is, God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.